The Solid Foundations Property Podcast is brought to you in association with Gap Property Investments, helping you getting a better return on your money in 2026 through property. Check out gappropertyinvestments.com. And also CitySTAYS, Ireland's leading provider of customized accommodation solutions, specifically designed for contractor teams working on projects. Check out citystays.ie. And you're very welcome to another edition of the Solid Foundation Property Podcast. Of course, I'm one of your hosts, Pádraig Cilfordy. We're back once again, and I also have another host as well, as usual. How are you, Lisa O'Reilly? You're keeping well, and you're enjoying the sun.
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, we're enjoying the sun. Nearly three weeks at this stage, so it's amazing. So it is. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. I'm not too bad now. I think, Donegal's nice in the sun. We'll take that. You know, we're used to 360. When you said there's 3 weeks, is there? I haven't seen 3 weeks, but maybe
that. We're in the sunny southeaster. We're in the hottest county in Ireland. So I don't know. What can I say?
Yeah. How are you, Lisa? Anyway, you've been working extremely hard over the last number of weeks, I hope. And since we last spoke, anything exciting happening? There's always something exciting happening with you, Lisa.
It's usually exciting. This time is an absolute show, to be honest. We've had a lot of issues going on with the couple of different businesses that we've got, the property businesses. So no, it's all not sun and games and roses at the moment. It's we're having a challenging time, shall I say. How about yourself?
Are you doing your meditation? Are you? Yeah.
Trying to do the meditation, but you can't meditate your way out of some of these bloody problems, I tell you.
need to get the sledgehammer out, just, you know. That's why it's great timing for, challenges. There's always challenges. There's challenges in planning. There's challenges in lenders. There's challenges in, you know, making something out of nothing when it comes to property. And there's always a challenge.
It's hidden costs as well, I suppose. There's costs involved in everything. So for one of my challenges is we had to get another consultant in on one of the builds, and like that's just added another £5,000 or £6,000 without me expecting that, you know. So it's just kind of having to find the money and come up with it, and you know, actually rationalize, do I actually need it? But at the end of the day, I do need it. It's just that, yeah, it's just costs and hassles, headaches, and yeah, anyway, for sure, look, we'll get over it.
The accountant and you would love that, because you love well predictability is probably something that all accountants like, you know. But again, Lisa, suppose that unforeseen sometimes challenges us all, and suppose our listeners who listen in and watch and see, is there any nuggets that they can get? Sometimes you have to just take deep breath and maybe see how you can find that extra cost or work it out another way. How have you done that?
I use the cash flow. So my strategy is the low high cash flow property.
Just turn off one of your microphones.
Gotcha. You can hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, brilliant. We focus on kind of cash flowing assets. So I'm not like, at the moment, our property portfolio is kind of more like cash flowing. They don't do massive capital appreciation. So I just use the money from the cash flow from the existing properties. But it's nice to not have to find this money then as well. I'm doing a big refinance at the moment with Bank of Ireland, and that's going to be another probably the guts of maybe 4 to 6 weeks before that comes through. So I have to find it in the interim, you know. But we'll find it. It's not the end of the world. We end up finding it. It's just there's other stuff going on then as well. So the contractor market, we do a lot of corporate lets across Ireland. And at this particular point in time, people have gone home. They're going home for maybe 2 or 3 weeks. The construction crowd, wherever they're coming from, like, you know, Bulgaria or Poland or wherever they're coming from. So that's quietened down then as well. So cash flow is taking a bit of a hit at the moment as well. So look, we have to kind of take the good with the bad, but that's the way it is, I suppose. And how about yourself, Porik? How's it all going with you?
Yeah, it's good crack at the moment now. There's plenty of obstacles again. You know, down valuations is one part of it. You hit the nail on the head on a remortgage. Yeah, we had one which was due back a couple of weeks ago, but hasn't arrived yet, and it looks like we have to reapply again. It's good fun. Don't teach you this at the courses. So as I say, all of those challenges that we have, suppose we don't really want them, but we have to try and get around them, as they say. Now, and that just, you know, it dissects to our very, very special guest. So if there's anyone who could talk us through challenges, who's been around those corners, who hopefully can bring us some bit of sunshine on this particular nice summer day. A gentleman with over 50 years in property, Lisa, and well, he's from South County Dublin, and well, in the past he has dealt with, I would say, every single challenge we spoke about there. And I'm okay at introducing people, but I think people themselves are better at introducing themselves. Mr. Ed Martin, you're very welcome to Solid Foundation Property Podcast. I hope I introduced you to the level of your expertise. I don't think I did. I did introduce you properly, but not to the level of your expertise, because 50 years in property, I don't think I've ever spoke to anyone who has that level of career in one aspect, first of all.
Morning, guys. Lisa has interest in your one there. I mean, it just comes, there's always something different every day with the property. So I mean, my perspective is, I am, as I say, 50 years in the business. My father was in the business before me, and my grandfather was in the business before him. Very different times when they were growing up in the business. It was mainly tenement buildings that they dealt with, poor commercial properties. Wasn't the obviously the fluid market that you have in the last 30 years or whatever, 30, 40. Yeah, and it is really only the last 30 years that we've had a fluid market, and things have changed and accelerated. It was very, very slow. There was kind of fixed term tenancies. If you decided to put the rent up, they could apply to get the rent put back down again, that sort of thing. It was poor quality property, and so, you know, effectively, it's really probably only the last 30 years where, you know, the market has been as fluid and as quick and fast as it goes up and down. You know, it will, you know, there's times to jump on, times to jump out. I mean, my father always said, and I have to it's my term on property, is all property is meant to do is to, you know, beat inflation by a couple of points each year, and then your cash flow should effectively only beat what the interest rate in the bank should be. That's effectively my long-term goal in property. But you know what happens is governments get involved. There's, you know, there's what you call recessions come in, recessions go out, there's opportunities go in, and it fluctuates the market up and down much quicker, which is probably makes it much more interesting actually, for younger people coming into the market. But as I say, there's always something different. That's what I like about it. There's no 2 days the same, and yeah, it's a challenging at times. It has been challenging for me over the years. It has been unbelievably brilliant. Now, in you know, in the latter stages of my career, what we basically do is we our ultimate aim of 20% of what we do is we try to buy small blocks of apartments. We strive to be the best in that class, on the letting end of things, and they all tend to have to be within a 10 mile radius of me, of where I live. And then what we try to do is we set systems in place that run the business. So I don't have ever have to be there. And that's 20% of what we do. 80% of the time we're trading and selling, which effectively will get us cash flow, money in the bank, trading things, keep things going, whatever. But ultimately, I'm thinking, and my advice to people is always be thinking of the end goal and be thinking in decades, you know, as opposed to what you can do in the short term. From my perspective, those property systems that we now put in place, like there's no point in getting to the end goal with your property and finding you still have to go and work 12, 15 hours a day, you know, with that property portfolio. But where it's come me through to the far side, and where, you know, your listeners or whatever, you know, would benefit from if they have a long-term goal in this system, is, you know, my life consists of living in Dublin. I spend 3 months of the year down in South Africa. I spend most of the summers in Kinsale. I train every single morning. I've got this goal in life that I want to be one of these grandparents that's playing in the garden with the kids as opposed to watching from the kitchen. I play a bit of golf and I love rugby. And I can, the systems from our perspective with the small building blocks, you know, they're not brand new, but we effectively put in place the best in our class, in my opinion, apartments for accommodation for what we call is the asset. The asset at the end of the day, from my perspective, is the people that come and stay with us, is the tenants, as somebody calls them, but I call them more clients. So we look after them really, really well, so that, you know, instead of staying for, you know, a couple of months and always looking at somewhere else to try and improve themselves and move into another place, we're effectively, our average stay at the moment is 3.5 to 4 years.
Okay, that's brilliant. And Ed, you said you mentioned systems a couple of times. So yeah. Do you mean, so is this the systems that you're building for the 20% of your portfolio where you're doing them up, you're keeping them, and you're putting tenants in place? And if that is the case, what kind of systems are you talking about? How do you build those up?
Okay, so first of all, we'll build it, you know, for argument's sake, we obviously have to find the property or whatever, and you finance it. And generally, you'll finance it through short-term finance originally. And then when you get, you know, I always say, I had to laugh at you when you said you're with Bank of Ireland. So when we came out of the long story that I've spoke to Porik about, when we came out of that, we had to finance it in a short space through a company called Finance Ireland. But then effectively what you're doing is after 3 or 4 years of trading, you then have in your hand, you know, a book of evidence to go into your Banks of Ireland or whatever. Because if I, you know, Bank of Ireland said to me at the time, look, we'll finance that. And I said, you won't, because you'll catch me on page 373 of your conditions. And I said, you know, so I said, I will come back to you when we've 3 years trading, you know, and we'll refinance that, which is what we do. And I found Bank of Ireland very, very good. But just coming back to our systems, our system would be that, first of all, once we have the apartment block up and running, like, so I'm not going to tell people how to restore a building or whatever, you know, but we've done it, you know, to a very, very high standard. But in our blocks of apartments, say for argument's sake, when somebody arrives into the apartment, the whole bedroom, the whole apartment is totally set up as if it's serviced accommodation. So beds are made, all your pots, pans, everything is in there. Now, where that came from was a number of years ago, back in around 2016, 2017, I went to the UK for a year's board mentorship on with a guy called Paul Smith over there on service accommodation. Because at the time we were kind of considering, will we do the short-term lets and all that sort of thing. It's not for me, right? It just is too much work. It's a hassle. It's a griefer. But what it taught me was that if you can present this standard of, you know, this standard of quality product to somebody. Somebody, you'll get a little bit more on the rent. You'll get people to stay longer. The more people stay, the less turnovers you have, the less hassle you have, the less times you have to go and let the place, advertise it, send your team in to turn it over, whatever. Also, another thing that we did with the apartment blocks at the time was, during COVID, we had a lot of people in the apartments that were from abroad. They were stuck in Ireland, families abroad or whatever. Things were happening in their countries or whatever. Really, really tough time on it. So what we did was we bit the bullet and we effectively put in commercial speed Wi-Fi that's wired back to every single unit separately. So everybody has their own IP. There's nobody sharing Wi-Fi and all the rest. And we included that in the rent. It's all included in the price. So when somebody comes to us, they might rock up with with their bags. They've come off a plane or whatever. They come into us. They walk in. They're probably knackered and stressed and, emotionally drained to a certain extent because they've left home to come to this country or whatever. They walk into one of our units. The bed is made. We'll have a welcoming pack there for them. And they can just switch on commercial speed Wi-Fi to let their parents know, look, I'm here, I'm happy. I can show you a video of the apartment block or whatever. And we want them to have, you know, to be in a safe place. And that's effectively what we do. And I love meeting, you know, young people and explaining to them simple things like, make sure you read the lease. You know, they come in, they're so excited to get a place. I said, make sure it's a commercial. And I think it all, you know, I think it came from, I have a huge thing for young people. I just think the young people today are absolutely outstanding. You know, I've no worries about the future. You know, I have worries about the leaders that you have around the world, but I've absolutely no worries about the kids of today. And I remember when, we haven't touched on it, but I remember when, when the shit hit the fan for me. My daughter went off to live in New York, and I think purely, she was 22, I think purely to ease the pressure on me and what I was going through at home. And I remember going to New York, and she was in an apartment block there, and they looked after them so, so well that myself and Mrs. M, we didn't worry one day of, you know, what, you know, about worried about her, where she was staying or anything like that. And I kind of felt like, you know, if I can produce that for people to come to stay with us, that they're in a safe environment, to me, that's effectively in a long, long, short way of doing it. And then what we'd also have is we have a system of together.
Yeah. With the RTB then, Ed, you mentioned the RTB. So I've just had my own case there lately of an RTB case. And like that, in fairness, it went my way. The initial one went my way. Now that I think they're appealing it now, so I've got to go to a tribunal again. But look, it took the guts of maybe 2 working days to get the evidence available to sit on the actual court itself. It took about 3 hours at the time. So it took a long time from a landlord's point of view. It was one of my first properties, and it was if I had known back then when I was first taking on that property of what could come down the line, I was working full time in the corporate world at the time. Yeah. If I had known what was going to come down the line, I probably wouldn't have got into property. I don't know about you, Ed, but I feel like with all the government interventions now, with all the RTBs, the threshold, the, you know, all these different kind of bodies that are there to protect the tenants, I feel like there's very limited protection against for the landlord. and that it's possibly not a kind of a game where you'd maybe, you know, I just have a property for my retirement fund, you know, is kind of gone down the route of maybe where we need professional landlords now, as opposed to, you know, accidental landlords, just because of the way of all the regulations gone. What do you think to that? Have you come across any challenges, or what do you think to that kind of thing?
Well, you've raised kind of an interesting one, because many, many moons ago, I was approached by a company in the UK, and what they were doing was they were building an app for managing tenancy agreements. And they just wanted my input purely on what should you put into the thing, right? And my ears pricked up and said, geez, hold on a second here. If we could get that app into Ireland, into the RTB, because effectively in the early and still up to a couple of years ago, the RTB was set up, and basically what they've done now is it started up as a paper trail company, because like there wasn't apps and all these fancy things that you have nowadays that people can go on, you know, online, and they can download an app, and you could manage your whole tenancy agreement. Like, I don't see why, you know, effectively so we approached them anyway. We approached the government at the time or whatever, and they wouldn't even let us in the door. Now, this app is used in councils, subsequently is used in councils over in the UK. But effectively what it would do was it would store all your tenancy agreements or whatever. It would store live conversations between you and your tenant. So you, Lisa, you come along and say, look, by the way, the washing machine is gone, and I ignored that for 6 months. But suddenly, you know, everything's there. So there can't be a dispute over deposits not being given back. You're seen as a good tenant, I'm seen as a bad landlord or whatever. It's all recorded.
Mm.
Effectively. So what I think it does is it weeds out bad landlords and it weeds out bad tenants. And I think the problem with the RTB is that it's a juggernaut that, you know, effectively has been progressed by people adding bits onto it.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be, in my opinion, it needs to be a start from scratch situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I think effectively, I think it's a poor system for everybody. And I think then you get the likes of Threshold and RTB, and you can't get the balance right there. And it really, at the end of the day, instead of harmonizing, you know, I want to provide good tenants to clients, or sorry, good property to clients. I don't call them tenants. And what they've created is a wedge between landlord and tenant.
Mm.
And then you have all the political, you know, some of the political parties jumping on the bandwagon. And you create a situation where, the governments in very simple terms, the governments in both the north and until I looked you up there, I didn't realize was your base. But I mean, you look up specifically in the north and the south, the housing crisis, and then the immigration situation coming into the country, where you're bringing in people from abroad. And effectively, you haven't got a system to put them into.
The system,
I mean, what's going on up north at the moment?
The system's broken, you know, and that's it goes back to a couple of different things. First thing is connection to water. It's just a non-runner at the moment for new estates. There's other aspects of it as well. It's just not really... it's not coming through from the point of view of planning. Planning is another huge issue, and they're just burying their heads in the sand. Like, I have a HMO application in for the last 20 months, which should take minimum 3, maximum 6. So you're very much against the odds when it comes to it, and so much so. I'll have to just look at this report that was issued from memory. It's costing 13 billion or something like that, you know, because we're not, because Northern Ireland's not even dealing with it. You know, I don't know what it's costing in Southern Ireland because they're not dealing, well, they're trying to deal with it, you know. But those two factors really causing massive issues up here. And just in our local area, there's over 6,000 people on the waiting list, you know, looking for housing. And it's a huge problem.
Mm. It is, yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. So, I mean, coming back to you, Lisa, I don't know what the answer is with the RTB, because I just think that their hands are tied effectively. And it needs a whole overhaul, and it needs to get the right stakeholders around the table, and their actual.
The Solid Foundations Property Podcast is brought to you in association with Gap Property Investments, helping you getting a better return on your money in 2026 through property. Check out gappropertyinvestments.com. And also CitiesDays, Ireland's leading provider of customized accommodation solutions, specifically designed for contractor teams working on projects. Check out CitiesDays.ie.
It needs to be, you know, enthusiasm to change the system and to buy into it. You know, who would have thought we'd be on our phones, downloading apps and all sorts of things 10, 15 years ago? If you'd have said that to people, they'd have looked at you in the head. And that's when we put that proposal to them. They said, oh, nobody would have an app that would say, you know, people wouldn't be able to put an app and but needs be needs most situation, you know.
So back to kind of like the grassroots then of you know, property. Everyone thinks that, you know, you need money to invest in property, and you do, obviously, clearly you do. So you know, how do you go about, Ed, raising money? So you said 80% of your strategy is flipping, and 20% is for the long term hold. Do you use your own cash flow to raise money? Do you use short-term cash flow? Do you raise private investor money, or do you go to the likes of Finance Ireland and those kind of short-term lenders for development finance? Or what way do you structure your deals now?
Well, we would structure our deals probably through a mix of private finance and going through the likes of Finance Ireland or whatever, right? But I think effectively, I don't think you're going to get really any benefit from me telling you how I do mine, because effectively I'm in it, you know, I'm 50 years at this.
Yeah.
So in real terms, I could actually go to Bank of Ireland and say, look, I need a short term loan. But so now, you know, you might have, I don't know how many people listen to your podcast. So now there might be two other people maybe in listening to this that's, you know, that might be conducive to. So they're going to turn off the radio now at this stage. if I was doing it today, right? The first thing I'd say is that, and I will go through some suggestions that I have that there might be opportunities, and we'll go through how you might raise the finance. I think the key with this is And it's a mantra that I give to young people and to my kids or whatever, right? On the whole thing is like, it's not about opening doors. Okay. Like, I can go to my kids and they might say, look, I've got this idea or whatever. And I could say, look, I can give you an introduction to X, Y, Z and all the rest, but it's not about that. Effectively, it's about opening people's minds.
You know, just explain that a little bit more for me, Ed.
Well, say, you know, for argument's sake, if you take a strategy, right? So say for argument's sake, if we move on to say one of the ideas that I have, you know, you asked me before this, where do I think that there's opportunities for young people today, right? And probably, and it's the one I've done most study on or whatever, and both from a psychology end of things and from actually just it's plain in front of your nose situation here, is it, there's a simple, very simple stat. And effectively, it's a population stat and what's happened to that population. So I'm from I was born in a period that the people at my age are known as baby boomers now. There's none of us any babies anymore. But effectively, people that were born between 1948 and 65. And we are actually only 14, just under 15% of the population. And yet we represent 48% of the wealth that's in this world, right? And effectively, the situation with it is that we're dying. You know, it's a fact.
I'm going to bring you back in the figures there, Ed. 15% of baby boomers own 40. What did you say? 48%. 48%. So if you're listening, there's a key message in there. Sorry, Ed.
And I'm putting my hand up saying we're dying. You know, we're not. So, I mean, effectively, over the next 20 years, the wealth transfer that's coming down the line between inheritance, estate sales, and business liquidations is what I'd call a tsunami is coming down the line, right? And if you are a young person or whatever, how do you get that head around there, right? I'm going to tie in one of my other ones with that. Just so that because then we can deal with the whole lot in one fell swoop. So down in Dublin, and I'm going to give you the same thing up in the UK North or whatever. Down in Dublin, the changes in legislation and regulation, which Lisa has alluded to earlier on, is scaring the crap out of older people. And what's happened with them is that, I mean, last Christmas, I sat in an AGM of the Irish Property Owners Association, and I would say there was 400 people in the room, and I'd say 90% of them was people over 70 years of age, people that had put their property, you know, put property into their pension fund. They saw the property at the end of the day coming along and giving them cash flow till the day they passed away. And because we're a considerate generation of people as well, passing that on to the next generation. And that's very important for people of my age. You know, it mightn't be of other age groups or whatever, but that is passing on family homes, selling family homes, getting, my age group, they get very sentimental about family homes and others. Personally, I don't give a crap about any property. Any property is just an asset, as far as I'm concerned. But we'll move on that. And basically, the government come in and they say, we're changing all the legislation here and people are going to be entitled to six-year leases or whatever. That's down here, right? And that scared the crap out of people down here. Somebody is 72, 73, and somebody then has an entitlement to a six-year lease. Then the restrictions on if there's a problem getting people out, then that crosses across, obviously, then into, you know, there's all these schemes for when people are in homes or whatever, and how, you know, they get money towards their staying in a home or whatever. So it's caused a huge mayhem. And I would say out of that room of the 400 people, and 90% of which were of that age group, I would think that 90% of them wanted out straight away, out of this whole system. And if you look at the numbers of people that have, you know, left of our age group that handed in notice to tenants was shocking, absolutely shocking. And the government let people of that age group, nervous people, they just want to get on with it. They just want a nice, smooth run till the end. They've worked their asses off all their lives. They put this in a pension fund to see them through the far side, and the government scared the shite out of them. And everybody was asking questions, how do I get out? How do I do this and all this? And that was only 400 people in a room. Now they could have represented maybe 1,000, 1,500 quids worth of, or 1,500 properties on the whole thing. So they're effectively, you know, they're effectively getting out now as well. And then when you think of the pass down of the first part, I've alluded to there, the baby boomers. I mean, the amount of property and wealth that's going to come down here over the next 20 years is phenomenal, right? Now, the key to it is, that's all very well. I'm selling a portfolio, whatever. And how do you fund that, right? You know, you're a young person. Suddenly I'm selling million quids worth of property, for argument's sake, or whatever the number is. And how do you fund that, right? And I find that it's generally going to be millennials that are dealing with that. Now, millennials are absolutely brilliant. I think they're so fast, they're so sharp. They've got great ideas. They can pivot from losing a job, something going wrong, onto the next thing. Whereas that was a badge of horror for us at our age if something went wrong. But the psychology between, and this is the important thing, is the psychology between a millennium and a boomer getting together is the key to it all. And what happens, I find with them, and I'm pretty quick, they're way too fast for me. They know all the answers to a certain extent. And it's if you can get that, if you could get people that millennials to understand boomers and how boomers, the psychology of a boomer and how we work, everything is like the tortoise and the hare race. We're slow. We make slow decisions.
And suppose, Ed, I'm going to just bring you back on that aspect. So millennials and baby boomers, okay. I'm not going to say which one I'm in, but but baby boomers, okay. Understanding that is, just thinking out loud here, is that where lease options, is that where opportunities like that come together? Maybe where there's a solution that a baby boomer might be looking for that they don't know about, that someone from you know, maybe what's that millennium kind of stature can actually go and show how that could materialize, and maybe it might be more beneficial both parties.
Well, I think that, and maybe, you know, I think, say, vendor finance might come into it. You know, want a lump sum. You know, they might want a lump sum situation here. And and this is the very important thing that I think is you know, you can do a bit of psychology on you going to work with each other. The other side of it is the is how do you get the finance in place in respect of this? And I think things like vendor finance, where you can sit down, you know, sometimes we don't want to let go of what we have. We'd be more than happy, for argument's sake, to go along the journey, take, you know, a certain amount out of it to keep us busy. You know, a lot of us don't want to stop. I certainly don't want to stop working. But if somebody said to me, look, by the way, you're going to get, if you just take your €1 million or something like that, and somebody said, look, by the way, give me 200 a year. Keep me involved in some way so that I'm at least making some push up onto the whole thing. I'm interested I am actually interested in that, you know. And sorry, the other opportunity, which I'm sorry, Porik, I forgot about who you're listening to is that there's a change, obviously, in the government, in the leader of the government in the UK. And effectively, Labour have given a commitment that, you know, they're not going to touch income tax on this. So they're going to have to get money in some other way at the moment. And there is, they're actively considering aligning the CGT, that's capital gains tax, with income tax over there. Now, that could effectively mean something in the region of 40 to 45% CGT that could be introduced in the next budget, which would be the end of this year. So I think there is, with all this talk about that, that would be your, say, your UK opportunity, as opposed to deregulation. That,
because
probably a lot of, you know, with the greatest respect, people go off for the summer. So there's not as much competition around, in my opinion, on yeah. summer. And the other side of it is that if somebody said to me, look, by the way, I'm half thinking of selling my portfolio or my property or whatever, there's a potential CGT increase here from whatever their interest for. I think, what's your CGT at the moment? It's 26%, something like that.
Over there, I think it is, isn't it? Yeah.
That could go up to 40, 45%. Mm. Now, that's telling me, get your contract signed, get the fuck out of this market as fast as you can. If, for argument's sake, I knew come, you know, January of next year, I'm going to be paying, you know, an extra 15, 20%. In tax for something that I've created.
That's a big one to finish the podcast on. There's been loads there listening of the knowledge and the nuggets that we've picked up over the last 50 minutes or so. Some story, Lisa, from start to finish. Ed's journey and our 50 minutes wouldn't do it any justice, but some nuggets there, as I say, looking at the different aspects that Ed has it's probably pinpointed for some of our listeners, you know, have that long-term view. Look for the vendor finance opportunities where the baby boomers might be. So there's loads there to go at. Yeah. You get busy.
Yeah, it is. It's great. And I tell you, even yourself, Ed, it's great for younger people to find the likes of you, in that you get enjoyment out of younger people. Like, you get enjoyment out of mentoring kind of, even if it's like indirectly, and it's not a formal setting. But I find when I first started out to get yourself around people who want to see you to do well, and if you are a bit of a go-getter, you are a bit of a person who's going to take action, it's great to have the likes of you around, Ed, who does find interest and enjoyment about, you know, passing your knowledge on to the younger generation as well. So thanks a million for coming on, and we really appreciate you coming on, and it's great to have you.
Absolute pleasure, guys, and thank you guys for the opportunity. And just finally, I'd like to thank Ozzy again, because this on my own would have been an absolute total nightmare. That's why I always surround myself with better people than me, more intelligent people than me. But maybe I can collect all the information from everybody and then make that final decision. You know.
Thanks very much, Ed.
Thank you, sorry. Thanks, guys.
The Solid Foundations Property Podcast is brought to you in association with Gap Property Investments, helping you getting a better return on your money in 2026 through property. Check out gappropertyinvestments.com. And also CityStays, Ireland's leading provider of customized accommodation solutions, specifically designed for contractor teams working on projects. Check out citystays.ie.